Let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy, dearly beloved. This is the last message we will have from this book. And this is the closing remarks of the Apostle Paul that we find here in verses 17 to 22. And that's exactly the title of our message. Paul's closing remarks. But the Lord stood with me, says Paul, and strengthened me, so that the message which might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also I delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me from his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Prudence, Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. What can we learn here from the remarks of the Apostle Paul, even as we think of the testimonies of our brothers here this morning? I think we can pretty much combine all of these things that we have heard from the brothers and hear from the Apostle Paul. The first thing that we notice here in verses 17 to 18 is this, that the Lord will never abandon His own. The Lord will never abandon His own. You remember verse 16 when He says that at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. With no resentment, Paul said, may it not be charged against them. Yes, at that time, it was a heartache. It was a challenge. All forsook Paul. But listen to his words in verses 17 through 18. He remembers another important thing about that experience. Yes, all forsook him. But he says, but the Lord stood with me. But the Lord strengthened me, he says, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And Paul even said, also, he was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Yes, dearly beloved, his closest friends all forsook him, but there was one person who knew never forsook him. And that is the Lord. The Lord did not forsake the Apostle Paul. He was there by his side. In fact, that is the meaning here when Paul said to Timothy that the Lord stood with me. He was there each step along the way, side by side. And not only that, but he also said that the Lord gave him strength. And the word there is related to the Greek word dynamis, where we get a word dynamite. This is power, this is strength, this is energy. All throughout those difficult times, the Lord strengthened him. Why? Well, Paul says here that he had a message. And the Lord was with Paul, the Lord strengthened Paul, because he was commissioned to bring that message, to preach fully, and the word means completely, to preach completely through him that all Gentiles might hear. That's the special mission of the Apostle Paul. He was an apostle to the Gentiles. God sent him to preach to the Gentiles. Look at Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. Paul says when he wrote this letter to the Roman believers, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, yes, but also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So to the Jews first, and also to the Greeks. But Galatians also, when he wrote to the Galatian believers, he mentioned this special task that the Lord had given to him. Galatians 1, 16. Paul said, let's begin with verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, this is a special calling by God here to the Apostle Paul, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. That I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. So yes, again, Paul reiterated that his special ministry is to the Gentiles. Even chapter 2, verse number 8, he tells us, "For he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles." So again, emphasizing his special ministry is to the Gentiles. So the Lord stood with Paul, strengthened Paul, so that he may be able to bring the gospel message to the Gentiles, that they may hear fully what the Lord has in store as far as salvation is concerned. Salvation is to the Lord Jesus Christ. He even said here, we don't know if it's figurative or it was literal, but he said, "I was also delivered out of the mouth of the lions." Now we, of course, can hear the very words of Daniel as well through these words of the Apostle Paul. But whether it's figurative or literal, it doesn't matter. The reality is the Lord was with Paul. He stood with Paul. He strengthened Paul. And he delivered Paul out of the mouth of the lion, out of the dangers that he was able to face. The Lord delivers his servant from every evil work and will preserve him for his heavenly kingdom. David Jeremiah said, "A man of God in the will of God is immortal until his work is done." That's the promise of God. So, dearly beloved, you know, our lives are not in our hands. Our lives are in the hands of God. And if God says you still have work for him to do here in earth, on the earth, you have work to do amongst your family, in your neighborhood, in this church, your life is safe. We should never be scared for our lives. We should never worry about our lives. Yes, you may be going through sicknesses and difficulties and physical ailments, but even your physical ailments do not determine the number of years you live. Oh, I have known a pastor who have lived for many years, even though he was told that his life is only until this point. But he says, "Oh no, pastor, I know the Lord has work for me to do in this community." He was preaching amongst the Atas, the aborigines of our town, Iloilo. And he said, "Pastor, I have still a ministry to do here." And sure enough, every single year, people might say that this is the year pastor might go home to glory. He did not. Until the Lord took him, that was his time. And dearly beloved, God used him mightily to that community so that many people, even the chieftain of the Itas, knew the Lord. So that when he had gone to glory, that chieftain now became the preacher in his own tribe. Dearly beloved, a man in the will of God is immortal until his work is done. This reality produced a doxology moment for the Apostle Paul. Just imagine this guy in the prison, you know, writing this letter. And he remembered how the Lord stood with him and strengthened him and delivered him. And what doxology came out of his mouth? He said this, "To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." I know the guys this morning who gave their testimony and us can resound this as well. "To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Yes, you may have given something to the Lord for the missions in PNG. Yes, you may have prayed. Yes, you have gone there. But all the glory belongs to the Lord, because he will never abandon his own. We thank the Lord that God provided safety for Jono, Josh, and Joey. They have families waiting here. And I'm sure you have prayed for them. And that's the Lord working, dearly beloved. Because again, a man of God in the will of God is immortal until his work is done. What is your work in this life? Are you worried about your health? Are you worried about your life? Just keep on working. And the Lord has his hands around you. But the second thing we learn about the closing remarks of Paul is not only that he will never abandon his own, the Lord will never abandon his own, but faithful friends in the Lord are blessings. Look at verses 19 to 21. Again, here he mentions faithful friends dear to his life. He says, greet Prisca and Aquila. Remember Prisca? Priscilla, longer version of her name. This power couple who served the Lord, fellow tent makers. Then he also mentioned the household of Onesiphorus. Then he mentioned Erastus, who stayed in Corinth. Trophimus, whom he left in Miletus. He was sick. And then Eubulus, Pudens, Linus, Claudia. And then he mentioned also all the brethren. We don't have all of their names, but it's in all this catchphrase here, in all the brethren. Well, Prisca and Aquila, we know already, we discussed about them. Household of Onesiphorus. This is also mentioned in chapter 1, verse number 16, if you may remember. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. For he, Onesiphorus, often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. So a Christian who ministered to the Apostle Paul. And so this household was greeting Timothy. They knew Timothy. And this term household may mean family members, but may also mean friends and servants of that household. Now Erastus most probably was the one mentioned in Romans chapter 16, verse number 23. Romans 16, verse 23. What do we have here as far as this man named Erastus? Gaius, my host and the host of the whole church, greets you. And then here Paul mentions Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you. So Erastus was greeting the Roman believers whom Paul was writing to. So he was a treasurer of Corinth. He could also be the man whom Paul sent with Timothy to minister in Macedonia in Acts chapter 16, verse 22. So this is another faithful man, a man who is honorable in the city of Corinth, but faithful to the Lord. But Trophimus is an interesting character. If you go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, he was a native of Ephesus and had accompanied Paul from Greece to Troas. You find this little snippet of your story in Acts chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. He probably helped carry the offering to the church in Jerusalem, where he was the unintentional cause of Paul's arrest for presumably bringing a Gentile into the temple. Now that's Acts chapter 21. But we are told here that Trophimus had Paul left in Miletus sick. He was sick. Now a little snippet here of this situation of Trophimus. Interestingly, number one, Paul did not heal him. You know, nowadays there's an emphasis of the apostles doing miracles, especially healing. Even today, people claiming to be apostles, healing. But interesting that Paul left him in Miletus sick. He did not heal them. We can draw this conclusion, dearly beloved, and even with other passages, that the sign gifts were not that front and center anymore during the later years of the ministry of the apostles, even of the Apostle Paul. There is no evidence that any of the apostles used them actually towards the end of their ministry. Miracles, even healing, one of the sign gifts, were no longer needed to verify the word of God. That's why we believe that he was left there, Trophimus was left there sick. Now, Charles Spurgeon preached a whole sermon on the words, but Trophimus, I have left in my little sick. Just that phrase. And he entitled it, The Sick Man Left Behind. And the points were this. It is the will of God that some good men should be in ill health. Number two, good men may be laid aside when they seem to be most needed. But third, good men would have the Lord's work go on, whatever becomes of them. These are really good points that Charles Spurgeon had left for us to think about, especially Trophimus' situation. But another group of people here is mentioned in verse number 21. Eubulus, Pudence, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. Now the first three names, Eubulus, Pudence, and Linus, are all Latin in origin. This would perhaps indicate that they were from Italy, perhaps members of the church there in Rome. And then perhaps, and there appears to have been many more Christians in Rome during this time when Paul had written his letter. So this is maybe a decade of difference from his first visit to his second. Thank the Lord, the ministry grew and more Christians were added to the church. Now, who was Claudia? Claudia might have been the wife or mother of Linus. We're not sure, but we know that she is related to Linus. Now, dearly beloved, this is a mention of a few of the faithful friends of the Apostle Paul. All of them are Christians. So this is a friendship. This is a partnership in the Lord. And the Bible, dearly beloved, has a lot to say about godly friendship. Godly partnership with other brothers and sisters. We have just heard about our missionaries in PNG. Our brothers and sisters there. What an amazing partnership we have. Us here in Australia, in the middle part of the Blue Mountains, and there, PNG. But what a blessing, what a beauty it is to have people of the same heart and mind for the gospel ministry, sharing life together. Oh, how I wish we could just pack up one Sunday and go there together and meet everybody there. And so the blessing of godly friendships is immense in a Christian life, dearly beloved. Proverbs 17:17 tells us that the blessing of love is there. A friend loves at all times. Also, Proverbs 18:24 tells us the blessing of stickability. True godly friends sticks closer than a brother. Whether through thick or thin, they're there. And that's exactly what happened here to the Apostle Paul. Yes, a lot of people all forsook him on his first defense, but towards the end, he greets these people that are there with him. Also, Proverbs 27 verse 9 tells us that with godly friendship comes godly advice, godly wisdom. Where would you go for godly wisdom today? Where would you ask for words of life? You can't have it from non-Christian friends, from the world. You can only hear them through the mouths of godly friends. Those who love God as much as we love God. Proverbs 27, 5 and 6 also tells us that with godly friends comes loving rebuke. Sometimes we need this. We need those loving, tender words and yet honest. Honest words that will tell us we're missing something. We have done wrong. We have weaknesses. We have shortcomings. We have sinned. Those are precious words, dearly beloved. I hope if you have godly friends who does that to you, you would appreciate them and thank God for them. But also another benefit of godly friendships is sharpening, the sharpening blessing of godly friends. Proverbs 27 verse 17 tells us, iron sharpens iron. And that's the blessing of a godly friend. When you talk to each other and when you share testimonies like this, your life is being sharpened. You learn from each other. You learn from their mistakes. They learn from yours. They learn from your victories and they learn from yours. And in that way, you walk life side by side, sharpening each other for the glory of God. Dearly beloved, Paul had them. I hope you develop relationships as well with godly men and women who can sharpen you. So the wisdom of the book of Proverbs is this, talking about friends. Proverbs 12:26. Choose your friends wisely. If I would recommend choose your friends from church. I know we have interactions from people outside, and that's good. That is good because we need to have friends outside so that we may bring the gospel to them. But I hope your deepest friendships, your most intimate relationships are here within the family of God. Connect, deepen, strengthen, water those relationships. We have the holidays, we have a break. Why don't you spend time? Build those relationships up. Maybe these past few weeks, you have been very busy. You failed to reconnect. Do that, dearly beloved. Paul had faithful friends dear to him, and they are blessings. I hope you see the blessings of friendship within this Christmas season that Christ has blessed you with. But the third that we find here, of course, the end is verse number 22. When Paul ends his letter to Timothy with his words, "The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen." So the third lesson we learn here from Paul's closing remarks is this: never forget God's presence and His grace. Never forget God's presence and His grace. They go together, dearly beloved. The presence of God and God's grace. Because listen, God is a God of all grace. Now, as far as this phrase, "the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit," Paul used this as well somewhere else. Galatians, Philippians, and Philemon. So this is a greeting that he reminds brothers and sisters that Jesus is always with us. In fact, didn't Jesus promise that in the passage that Jono had just mentioned to us? And God has a lot of promises in the Old Testament of His constant abiding presence. Whether we're going through the valleys of our lives, what does the shepherd say? "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." So dearly beloved, whether you're walking through the valley or you're walking through the mountains of life, whether you are going through a sea voyage or a drive through a continent, whether you are going through a tough times in your family or in your ministry, never forget that the Lord Jesus Christ is with your spirit. But also He says, "Grace be with you." Now the closing remark of "grace be with you" is also a common closing remark of the Apostle Paul. He used it in Colossians, in 1 Timothy, in Titus. He knows that we need God's grace, and God is never slack in giving it. He gives grace to all of us. He giveth, that's what one song says, and giveth again. Dearly beloved, I don't know how this year is for you. As you look back, how was it? How was it? Was it tough? Challenging? Was the ministry really a heartache here and there? There were victories, praise the Lord. But may we not forget, as we face a new year, that God's presence is with us. That His grace follows us. Carolyn Hamlin even concludes her song in this chorus: "Your will cannot lead me where Your grace will not keep me. Your hand will protect me. I rest in Your care. Your eyes will watch over me. Your love will forgive me. And when I am faltering, I still will find You there." His second letter, last letter of the Apostle Paul, written in prison, written to his son in the faith, Timothy. And yet he ends by comforting Timothy, reminding Timothy, "Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now you do the same, remembering that the Lord will always be with you. And the grace that He gave me is the same grace that will reach down on you." Dearly beloved, as we end this book today, as we close this book and look forward to the Gospel of Matthew next Sunday, let's remember the theme of the book. At the very beginning, I gave the theme of the book. And I hope this will challenge us. What's the theme? That's exactly it. Fight the good fight. finish the race. Keep the faith. Dearly beloved, I hope that the letter of the Apostle Paul to Timothy has blessed your heart as it has blessed mine. And I pray that someday when we meet Paul in glory and he asks us, how was the fight? How was your race? Did you keep the faith? And you shall say, with God with me and his grace, I did, my brother. And give Paul a warm hug. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the songs. You challenged us, dear Lord, with such beautiful words that doesn't just push us, but also, Lord, comforts us with a challenge ahead. We know your presence will follow us and your grace will surround us. Lord, whatever challenge you have given to your people today, keep them growing in our hearts, dear Lord. And I pray that we will be faithful, not just this year, but for the years to come. In Jesus' name.